today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Growing up in a brand new house on a Georgia coast, she didn't expect her first house guest to be dead.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number. Please call, share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear it. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Please press subscribe wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss any episodes of the program. You don't want to. We put a lot out every single day. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode. What's going on?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was planning on going to Gettysburg. Had to cancel that. I think I found a new location I want to go to very soon. It's called Lilydale, and it's in the state of New York, about an hour southwest of Buffalo.
Okay.
And the entire town is built around the spiritualist movement.
Really?
So the entire town is full of psychics and paranormal investigators. They have all these outdoor gathering places where they do seminars and all that kind of stuff. But the entire village is based on the spiritualist movement. You can go there and actually like experience some of the stuff that goes on today. But the entire town is at Lilydale, New York. I just found out about it this weekend. I'm doing another podcast and now I want to go.
I'm looking at the pictures. It looks really cool. Yeah.
That looks kind of freaky, little old houses, all cottage-like, and I mean, this could be a lot of fun.
There's one, have you heard of, you've probably heard of it, because you know the hotel there, Eureka Springs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of similar, I mean, maybe not exactly the same, but there's a lot of that there, and it the whole town just is into that. So that's another place, and it kind of reminds me, some of these homes look similar to some of the homes there in Eureka Springs.
You and Harper took a trip there once, right?
We did. We did a live show there, actually.
That's right.
Crescent, like almost 10 years ago. And,
holy crap.
And it was fun. It was cool. We had a listener that might have gotten possessed during it. And we didn't do any more live shows after that for a while.
Did you ever follow up with that person? Were they okay? Did they get some help? What happened?
She was fine, but she did. I mean, it was kind of weird. From what I remember about it, because it was a while back. I know Carol was in contact. I think more than I was, but she kind of believed that something followed her.
Wow. Hey, you know, remember Charles Kuralt? He was on CBS forever.
Sunday morning.
He would travel around in his RV, right? And just tell stories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like the ultimate gig in life would for me to be driving around in an RV, which would not be safe because I can't drive those big things. But to go to all these little towns and like do, I guess, stories on them would be so cool.
That'd be really fun. Well, hey, maybe that'll be part of your job.
Yeah. I'm Todd Michaels.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have to talk like this when you tell the story.
Yeah. I like that.
You know that he would always go back to one pond like once a year, mm-hmm. a location that he visited all the time. I didn't know this till after he died, but it did come out. The reason why he went there is he had a little something on the side.
Oh God.
Charles Kuralt had a little something on the side.
Wow, that was the last thing I was expecting to hear at that moment. Thank God I wasn't drinking anything. I would have done a spit take. I thought it was going to be like he lost a child or something and like the ashes were there or something like that. Like, you know, going and visiting the pond or...
My favorite place is this pond in blah, blah, blah. And then come to find out after he died, he had a mistress there who wanted to come back and take all of his money. So if I do travel the country, I'll have to keep it in my pants. That's all I'll say.
That would be a great story. Oh my God. Wow. I can just, everyone thinks the ashes of my child are buried here.
Yes.
I'm just tapping some ass over here on the side.
And also, what was she like to be into Charles Carroll? That was the other thing, because he wasn't the most beautiful human being in the world, you know?
It turns out it's that Bertha chick from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. The one that turns into the...
Yeah, the driver,
yes,
right?
Big the Bertha. Driver, Big Bertha. Yeah. All right. Well, somehow we got from that to that and Charles Carroll all in the course of 5 minutes, a new record. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our caller and hear
it. Hey, guys. My name's Cherish. I live in southern Georgia on the coast. I've never really talked to anybody about it because, you know, they kind of look at you crazy when you try. And this started when I was little. We had just moved into the house my family built when I was about 4. And I would be upstairs playing in my room. My door would be open. And I would see things dart past my door out the corner of my eye. And, you know, after just moving in, my sister and I, our bedrooms were next door to each other. And she's 7 years older than I am. And so, you know, she wouldn't really play tricks like that on me when I was little. We didn't play a lot together because of the age difference. But, you know, thinking your sister's up to antics, I would get up and check, and she wouldn't even be upstairs. And it's not like she could have snuck downstairs really quick, because with it being a fresh house, freshly built, our stairs squeaked really bad. The wood would squeak. This is one of my earliest memories. You know, it would happen often, and coupled with that, I would hear my name being whispered, and then I would see the darting out of the corner of my eye, and sometimes I would see a face. And after a while, I'd stop getting up to check, because I never felt threatened, I was never scared. It was just this weird thing that I put up with and didn't really think to tell my family. Why would I? I wasn't afraid. It wasn't something that I would remember, oh, you know, hey, Mom, hey, Dad. I saw people out the corner of my eye. I just never thought about it. That stopped when I was about, I guess, 7 or 8, when I stopped paying, you know, Barbies and dolls and stuff like that. But I was always terrified of the dark. Don't know why. To this day, I'm still pretty afraid of the dark. You know, my friends tease me, oh, you're an adult and you still won't go outside at night? Damn straight. I just have this sinking fear that there's something out there that I can't see that's going to get me. But when I was little, I had these horrible, horrible nightmares. And I think I get this from my dad. We both have vivid, vivid dreams to where we can smell, we can taste, we can feel. And sometimes we honestly mistake dreams for memories. Not very often, but that's how real they are. And this one dream still resonates with me from when I was little, that I was asleep. I was probably about 6 at this age. And in my dream, my body was heavy, and there were these big, grown, like, muscular men hitting me, like, beating me. Why would a little girl have this kind of a dream? And anytime they made contact, especially hitting me in my face, these bright lights would flash in my dream, and I woke up terrified. And I remember laying in bed going, Mommy, Daddy? And I went screaming across the house to my parents' room, and needless to say, I slept in their bed that night. And I do remember several times sleeping with my parents because of really bad nightmares, but that was the only nightmare that I still remember as an adult, because a lot of times you wake up and you almost instantly forget your dream. But for whatever reason, this one has stuck with me for over 20 years now. Nothing else really happened in the house. But then when I became a teenager, I would notice lights would flash around me. And it's not just at my house. It actually almost never happened at my house, but it would be out in public. And I was almost always by myself, but buildings would flash, the lights would start to flicker, or lampposts would flash. We have a really, really big bridge here called the Sydney Lanier Bridge. There's lights across the entire thing. It's big enough that they do a 5K run every February here, just to give you an idea of the size. I was driving over it late one night, probably around 11 o'clock or midnight, And as I get to the bridge, you know, not a lot of traffic, I get to the first light and the light flickers out as I drive under it. You know, a light flickering here or there, not that noticeable. But as I passed every light, the light would go out. And then once I had gone driven past it, the light would come on. And just as I'm getting to the next light, that light would flicker out and then come back on as I passed it. And the entire bridge did that. So that was a little freaky. Then, you know, a little bit faster, I'm in college. And, you know, I'm starting to talk to this guy like, you know, young love. You hang out till 2, 3 in the morning. You're young. You do that kind of thing. And we're out on campus. I went to Georgia Southern University, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We're by one of the big rotundas, like one of the main buildings on campus. And, you know, we get close to it. We sit down on a park bench, just talking, getting to know each other. And the whole building starts flashing. Not like, you know, the lights under the overhang or something like that. The entire building. And, you know, the guy I was talking to was like, that's kind of weird. And I'm freaking out because this kind of stuff happens all the time. And he notices my change in behavior and he's like, hey, what's up? And so, you know, I'm reluctant to tell him I like this guy. I don't want to scare him off, think I'm crazy. But finally, I'm like, you know, this kind of stuff happens to me a lot, like light flicker, that type of thing. And, you know, he kind of laughed. But as we sat there for like another hour at least, the whole building continued to flicker. We ignore it. Nothing else weird is happening, you know. I try to ignore it as best as I can, continue with the conversation. We go to leave, and as we start walking away, the further we get from the building, the less it starts to flicker. And finally, a good distance, it stops altogether. The lights come back on. Nothing happens anymore. And so the last, you know, odd thing that I can remember happening, I'm out of college. I'm back in my hometown. I'm going to see a friend. It was winter time, so it got dark kind of early. Again, weird stuff always happens at night for me. Wonder why I'm afraid. Driving to a friend's house, and I don't really know what to think about this. I have a hard time believing it myself. There's like this globe of light floating over one of the marshes I have to drive by, and it's just hanging there. I'm like, is it a helicopter? What's going on? You know, not really paying too much attention to it. As I get closer, this thing just falls from the sky, like faster than you would think, like not just like something was there and then it fell, like it plummeted to the ground into the marsh and the light went out. And I'm like, there's no way I'm the only one that sees this. And like, traffic's just going on as usual, not that there was that much to begin with, but what the heck, like, what is this thing? This is kind of a culmination of things that have happened that are odd over my life. You know, you guys are great. I love that you analyze at the end of every story. Hey, you know, it could be this, it could be that, or it could be completely paranormal. And I'm the same way. Like, anytime something happens, I try to rationalize it in my mind. I totally, totally believe in the paranormal. You know, this stuff creeps me out, but I'm still fascinated. But at the same time, like, I'm trying to constantly find a reason for strange things to happen. Anyways, thanks for listening to my story. You guys are great. I've been listening for a few months now. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Thoughts?
As always, I'm always impressed when somebody tries to think rational reasons why this stuff would happen. But it's to me, it sounds like an individual who may have some sensitivities to things, and maybe whether she's creating the energy that's making the lights flicker like that, mm-hmm. or if entities are just stronger when she's around, something's going on. I would suggest to her to maybe reach out to somebody who has some knowledge of being psychic, being in the paranormal field, and talking with somebody about that, because it sounds like to me, even when she was young, she may have had a few tendencies to connect, even mm-hmm. though she didn't realize she was doing it. Very interesting story. And just kind of knowing a little bit about coastal Georgia from Savannah all the way down to Statesboro, there's a lot of stories there. And of course, you're right on the coast, so you've got all that moving water from the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Just very, very creepy and interesting part of our country.
It's the moss that is creepy to me. I love
hanging
the moss
from the trees. Do you really? Because when I lived in Mississippi, we had it.
Yeah,
I didn't like it. But maybe it's just because Mississippi was such a fucked up location. I don't know, but I hate it.
I would say there's a very different vibe to the Mississippi moss than the Savannah moss.
Okay.
I don't know. The atmosphere is different. It's just you're in a dramatically kind of different setup. So I do like the Savannah moss. I think that that's really cool. But the Mississippi one, I did feel like it's kind of like that, just not quite the same. I don't know what. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know, but it is. I'm going to be over there next week at from Savannah, then driving up to Charleston. I've been to Savannah once or twice. I've never been to Charleston, and I've always wanted to go and explore that area. So we're going to go and spend a week and do that, get in the car and drive.
Will you please let me know how it goes if you run into anything or anything weird happens?
Yeah. I'm going to play Holiday Road the whole time. Holiday Road. We're going to Wally World, kids.
Oh, my God.
So it'll be fun. But I'm looking forward. I literally have no idea what I'm doing right now. And I'm leaving in 3 days.
Isn't that kind of cool, though? I mean, to be able to do that.
Like, we got the hotels booked. We know, like, where we're stopping. But we don't have anything really planned, and we've never really been there. So we're going to look around and think on the internets this evening and I'm trying to get some ideas, but,
internets. Okay. Yeah, old man.
I know, on the internets. It's, but you know, that was one of my favorite vacations ever was going actually to, to Michigan, going across the, lake on the Badger in Wisconsin. Yep. And then getting into Ludington, driving all the way up into Traverse City, Petoskey. We did Mackinac Island and then up through the Upper Peninsula and came back down. And this is before the internet. This is before cell phones and all that. So you literally had to look for the no vacancy sign on the hotels. So we were driving and driving. We couldn't find any hotel. This is up by Mackinac in, I think, Mackinac City or something. And one hotel has an opening. And it is called the Normandy. And I've looked this up. This place is still there. But they've remodeled, I believe, and they've made it into kind of a retro chic type place. Back then, not so retro chic. And this is like 1993. It still looked like it was straight out of the 60s. It had shag carpet, green shag carpet. It was very dark, all dark. Super dark wood paneling. The television was black and white. And it smelled of like pee. And
nice.
And when we checked in, my the person who was checking us in was like, "Would you like to upgrade to our deluxe suite for free? We have it open tonight." And my parents are like, "Oh, yes. Well, the deluxe suite, of course." And the deluxe suite just meant there was a wall and a door that kind of separated the two, double beds. So it made it even scarier because I was in this other tiny room that also smelled of death. And they were like in the room next to me. And it was it's far worse hotels. But at that point in my life, that was a scary moment.
I was just wondering now, so how long after that did the conversation stop from your parents complaining about the trip?
We've talked about the Normandy since 1993. It was 1993. I remember it vividly. Yep.
God dang it. Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, and we laugh about that. The joke is always the Normandy. And that's, I will always remember the Normandy. But you know what? I want to go and stay at it. If I'm up there again at some point, just to see it, because like I said, the last, I believe I looked it up, somebody had tried to, or I don't know what the current status is, but it looked like they were trying to do the retro thing with some of those. And it's a perfect building to do it to, because it was once, I'm sure, a really nice one. And it probably is again, but for a long time, it was a relic of another time.
That's another dream of mine, like to have one of those old motels, like the sides. Yeah, that would be so cool.
Wouldn't it be neat? I've seen, there's a couple of those over in Michigan where there's another one in Ludington that has done that. And it was an old, strip motel, like a touristy one. And it kind of fell in hard times and then somebody redid it and it's all retro-y and it's really cool. Anyway, neat stuff. There you go. There's some ideas for a summer vacation, kids. Go check out Michigan. Does Tim Allen still do the voiceover for Pure Michigan? I don't see those.
Maybe, maybe.
Anyway, if you like the show, press subscribe. Thank you for that. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.